International.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. My opening serve on Monday's show is African tennis. A 13-year-old Ghanaian player is making headlines after winning the ladies' singles title at the recent Accra Open Championship. Joining us now from Accra with more details is Yao Afusu-Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, she's just 13, smart, talented, and energetic. Introduced to the sport by her father at age 10, she has already gained great interest in it and is making her dad proud. Ekuyakoma Hansen defeated her opponent in the final in straight sets to claim the ladies' title of the 2021 Accra Open Championship held at the tennis arena of the Accra Sports Stadium. Hansen was born in Germany to a Ghanaian father and an Irish mother. She has been in Ghana for only a year, but her skill in the sport has begun paying dividends. But it hasn't been all smooth sailing. The 13-year-old recalls how tough the journey was from the beginning back in Germany.
My daddy didn't have money to pay the membership, so we know they will close at 4. So 4:30 we will go and climb the fence. Then we will look 30 minutes for balls because they don't take every balls when they go over the fence. So we looked and we found like 10 balls and daddy buy one racket in second hand. Then he just threw the ball to me. And then one time the captain saw us and didn't say anything. He just went back. And like 1 week, then he saw us again and he saw how much I improved. And then he came to us and said, what you are doing, you can't do, you have to pay the membership. And then my daddy said, yes, I know, but I don't have enough money to pay it. And then he said, I saw how much you improved and gave us for 1 year a free membership.
Like every young player coming through the ranks, Ekuya has role models, and among them includes Australian Open champion Naomi Osaka and Coco Gauff, who lit up the sport with her performances when she burst onto the scene a few years ago.
Naomi Osaka, because she just came out of nothing and she won tournaments. She was 3 times in the final and every final she won. And it's like a very big surprise. She just came out of nothing. And Coco Gauff also, because she's so young and I like her.
Ekuyakoma wants to be the biggest tennis player in the country and the continent and go on to win Grand Slams.
I want to be a world-class tennis player. I want to be in the top 3 and play for Ghana. So I just want to make sure when you turn on the TV, you can see a Ghanaian flag.
Her father, Jeffrey J. Hansen, has no doubt that his daughter can slowly climb the tennis ladder. He believes his daughter's hard work will pay off soon and boldly spoke of the young lady's intentions to represent Ghana at the Olympics.
I believe it's every girl's or every player's dream to represent their country. Now, there's a good question. Where do we see her? Where does she see herself? You know, and I truly believe at this point, she is 100% a Ghanaian. 100%, there's no doubt about it. Yes, it also came through me because it's more or less, it's my dream to push this door open for us Ghanaians, especially for the females. It's my dream. I want to make with what I have, I want to give back with what I have.
Young Ekuyakoma Hansen has the world at her feet and a racket in her hand. Hopefully, the years materialize as the years roll on. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. An update now on the tennis calendar for this year's major tournaments. The French Open has been postponed by a week due to the COVID-19 pandemic and will begin on May 30th. The clay court event held at Roland Garros in Paris is scheduled to finish on June 13th, 2 weeks before the expected start of Wimbledon in London. Now, last year's French Open was moved back to late September, about 4 months later than its usual May date because of the pandemic. Spanish star Rafael Nadal won his record 13th men's title at Roland Garros, while Poland's Iga Świątek won her first women's title. Turning to golf, Hideki Matsuyama has put his name in the record books as the first Japanese man to win a major tournament in the sport. Matsuyama won the Masters in the southern U.S. city of Augusta, Georgia. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Hideki Matsuyama has hung on for a one-shot victory at the Masters, surviving back nine drama to become the first Japanese player to win a major title. The 29-year-old entered the famous final nine, five clear, but after finding the water at the 15th, found himself just two ahead of a charging Xander Schauffele.
I think, 16, I really would have loved to put more pressure on him there and basically gave him the term at that point.
When Schauffele posted a watery triple bogey at the 16th, Matsuyama needed just a closing 73 to win, with rookie Will Zalatoris claiming second at 9-under after a closing 70.
Obviously, to come up one short and be disappointed is motivating, but obviously very exciting.
Jordan Spieth and Schauffele shared third. I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. Former Masters golf champions Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus both took to Twitter to salute Hideki Matsuyama for his triumph. Tiger wrote, and I quote, "Making Japan proud, Hideki. Congratulations on such a huge accomplishment for you and your country. This historical Masters win will impact the entire golfing world." Meanwhile, Jack Nicklaus tweeted, "I want to send my heartfelt congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama for his Masters tournament victory and for being the first Japanese male golfer to win a major championship." And Nicklaus continued, "I'm not only very happy and pleased for Hideki, but also the whole golfing world." In Japan, Hideki Matsuyama's Masters victory was celebrated throughout the country early Monday morning. Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga described his win as wonderful and a source of pride and courage for the country, which will host the Tokyo Olympics in just over 3 months.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. The South African Football Association recently fired national team head coach Molefe Nseke after Bafana Bafana failed to qualify for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations finals in Cameroon. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, where he reached African football analyst Emeka Enyadike.
The fans are very unhappy that they lost because missing out on AFCON is such a big deal. The expectations are that Bafana should be amongst the top dogs on the continent. So you can imagine the mood and the frustrations because of the loss.
Do you think Coach Molefe Nseke applied wrong tactics against Ghana or Sudan that led to the loss?
Well, I think it's not about wrong tactics. I think it's just about not getting the goals that they needed to overcome Ghana. Ghana and South Africa have had some really interesting encounters over the years, and they didn't qualify because they didn't win that game. But they still had a chance going to Sudan, but this time around, it didn't work for them. Bafana didn't qualify because they didn't get the results. That's how it is.
Coach Nseke has been sacked by the South African Football Association. Whom do you fit to replace him and why?
I think Now that Zeki has been sacked as coach of Bafana, if you ask me, I think that these two coaches come to mind if you want to replace him as coach for Bafana. And I will go for Pete Mosimane or Gavin Hunt, whichever is available, or will be ready to take on the role. And I think also Benny McCarthy should be in the conversation, and probably the likes of Bradley Cannell. They need to bring a pool of these talented coaches, get them involved with the team so that there's the possibility that, you know, along the line you have a progression. The good thing about, you know, Pizzo, Benny McCarthy and Bradley is that they've coached abroad, they played abroad as well, and they've got good coaching training, and they've got some experience. So if you have a team like that, then, you know, you have the possibility that they can work on the young talent that they have and look towards not just the 2022 World Cup, but also the 2026 one in North America. So this is what I think South Africa needs to do. The time for blames and all of that has gone behind. They need to move swiftly and try and get really experienced coach, but also they've got to bring in South African coaches who understand the mentality rather than bringing in another foreign coach.
Which way forward for Bafana as the World Cup qualifiers will start in May?
The one thing about this position that they find themselves now going into the World Cup qualifiers is that they need to find a coach who understands the players, understands the South African playing culture, and can get the team to start winning once again. Of all the big coaches from South Africa, Gavin Hunt is one that readily comes to mind as one who hasn't coached the team, but again, he's involved with Chiefs, and I don't know if they'll look towards him. One would expect that they will go out there and get a coach who will attempt to qualify, and if he doesn't, then obviously it should be one that will be able to build it. There's a school of thought that thinks maybe Benny McCarthy should get a chance. Well, South Africa has a lot of coaches. I mean, if you look up that in Egypt, Pizzo Mosimane has been one of the most successful coaches in Africa. In recent times, winning the Champions League with Mamelodi Sundowns and also winning it with Al Ahly, two really massive clubs. He's also been coach of the national team before and has been an assistant coach. Will he be ready to come back? Is this the right time for him? So there are a lot of options. Do they go and get a foreign coach? What happened to the long-term vision? Will they want to go for a short-term one, or will they reboot and try and look for a coach who fits the job and who can deliver over a period of time? It's a very difficult position to be in, but I think that the players are there. I think they need to, you know, just focus and try and see if they can get the results in their first game and then hopefully build on towards the qualifiers.
That's African football analyst Emeka Enyadike, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Prince Nesta is ready to cross the football borders of England, France, Spain, and Italy for another look at the weekend highlights in the major European leagues. And Prince says an Egyptian star scored for Liverpool. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah cancelled out Ollie Watkins' opener before Alexander Arnold struck in the first minute of stoppage time to help Liverpool beat Aston Villa 2-1 and end a run of six consecutive defeats at Anfield. The win will give Liverpool extra confidence going into Wednesday's Champions League quarter-final second leg against Real Madrid at Anfield after losing 3-1 in their first leg match in Spain. Arsenal jumped back into the top half of the Premier League table with a calm and comfortable 3-0 victory over Sheffield United at Bramall Lane after Alexandre Lacazette and Gabriel Martinelli scored either side of halftime to hand Mikel Arteta's side a sorely needed victory. West Ham also moved back into fourth, just 1 point behind Leicester City in third place, following a nervy 3-2 win over the Foxes at the London Stadium, while Manchester United came from behind to beat Tottenham Hotspur 3-1 with a spirited performance in North London. Heung-min Son put Spurs in front shortly before the break, just 5 minutes after Edinson Cavani saw a strike cruelly disallowed following an intervention by VAR. Fred then found the net to level early in the second period, before Cavani added a second with a diving header, and Mason Greenwood rounded off the result in the dying moment. Here's Manchester United's boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's take on the match.
No, of course, second half, I was delighted with the boys. I thought from that decision and onwards, we played some great stuff. I know we conceded a goal, which a good combination play and all that, but I think that's when we started playing, or from that goal onwards. I thought we were excellent in the last hour.
That's Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his side's win against Tottenham. Manchester City lost for only the fourth time this season, as Stuart Dallas' stoppage time winner ensured 10-man Leeds United stunned the Premier League leaders 2-1 at the Etihad Stadium. Chelsea also put up the slickest attacking play in months on the way to a 4-1 romp away at Crystal Palace. Kai Havertz gave his side the lead in the 8th minute, before turning provider for Christian Pulisic 2 minutes later. French footballer of Central African Republic descent Kurt Zouma scored Chelsea's third of the night from a set piece to become the league's top scoring defender this season, before Belgian footballer of DR Congolese descent Christian Benteke, one of those forwards who never seem to score unless it's against Chelsea, scored again to bring Palace within two. However, Pulisic restored the Blues' 3-goal lead in the 78th minute. Chelsea's manager, Thomas Tuchel, had this to say about his team's performance.
Very happy with the performance, especially how we began the game, first 30 minutes. We were well-deserved 3-0 up. We created chances. We were very aggressive in ball possession and without the ball. We did a very good counter-pressing, a lot of recoveries in the last third of the game. Yeah, was a very, very good performance with an excellent result. The challenge was to keep on going in second half. So we conceded a goal, but the response there was also very well. I'm very pleased with the response. We did not step back. We kept on playing with a lot of courage and created more and more chances. And I'm happy with the performance that led to this victory.
There was Chelsea's manager Thomas Tuchel after his side secured an impressive win against Crystal Palace. Moving on to the French league, PSG followed up their superb 3-2 victory over Bayern Munich in the first leg of the Champions League quarter-final tie by beating Strasbourg 4-1 on Saturday. French footballer of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe opened the scoring with a low shot through Strasbourg goalkeeper Mans Celse's legs, before Pablo Sarabia and Italian footballer of Ivorian descent Moise Kean extended PSG's lead before halftime. Malian footballer Dion Moise Sahi pulled one back for Strasbourg, while Leandro Paredes completed the scoring late on. Mauricio Pochettino's side host reigning European champions Bayern Munich in their Champions League quarter-final second leg on Tuesday, leading 3-2 from the first leg in Germany. League leaders Lille won 2-0 at Metz, remain 3 points clear of second place PSG at the top of the table. Lille were last crowned French league champions in 2011, when Eden Hazard helped fire them to a first French top-flight title in 57 years. French footballer of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder came off the bench to strike twice in the second half, as third-place Monaco beat basement dwellers Dijon 3-0, moving on to 65 points, four clear of fourth-place Olympique Lyon, who picked up their first win in four French league games, with Dutch footballer of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay and Lucas Paqueta on target in a 3-0 win over Angers at the Groupama Stadium. And in the Spanish league, Real Madrid weathered bitter winds and driving rain to defeat Barcelona 2-1 in an action-packed El Clasico played on Saturday. The win, which came courtesy of goals from French star of Algerian descent Karim Benzema and Toni Kroos, lifted the Los Blancos into second place in the league with 66 points, while league leaders Atletico Madrid earned a 1-1 draw against Real Betis. Yannick Carrasco put Atletico ahead when he lashed onto a loose ball and tapped home, but Christian Taylor leveled with a cushioned finish. Barcelona's next game is the Copa del Rey final against Athletic Bilbao on April 17th, while Real Madrid travels to Liverpool on Wednesday, having won the first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal tie 3-1. In the Italian Serie A, a rare goal from fullback Matteo Darmian and Inter Milan a 1-0 victory over Cagliari, as Antonio Conte's side clinched on their first Serie A title in 11 years ahead of rivals AC Milan. And talking about AC Milan, Zlatan Ibrahimovic set up 2 first-half goals before being sent off after an hour, as 10-man Rossoneri beat Parma 3-1 to boost their Champions League's hope. Dejan Kulusevski, Alvaro Morata and Winston McKinney were also on target, as third-place Juventus beat Genoa 3-1 to close the gap to AC Milan to 1 point. I'm Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with more African football news is Douglas Mpuga.
FIFA has banned Chad from global football until further notice over government interference in the running of the country's football federation. This follows the Minister of Youth and Sports dissolving the Federation of Chad Football Associations in March. After the minister's announcement, the Confederation of African Football disqualified the national team from last month's final 2 rounds of qualifying for the Africa Cup of Nations. A statement from FIFA says the football world's governing body will lift the suspension at any time before the next FIFA Congress takes place. And Egypt's giants, Zamalek, have until the end of April to decide whether to appeal the decision to pay former player Benjamin Achampong over $1 million. FIFA has sent the 5-time African champions the reasons why it had instructed the Cairo club to pay the money to the Ghanaian. FIFA's decision last month came after the Court of Arbitration for Sports ruled in December that Zamalek must pay Achampong after determining that the player was forced into breaking his contract by the club's actions. In the African Champions League, Algerian champions CR Belouizdad beat South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns 2-0 to clinch a place in the quarterfinals. It was a kind of revenge for the Algerians, who lost 5-1 to Sundowns in the reverse fixture in February. In Friday's other Group B game, DR Congo's TP Mazembe, who were already out of contention to make the quarterfinals, came from behind to win 2-1 over Sudan's Al Hilal. The Sudanese club had needed a win to have any chance at all of progressing. In athletics, Kenya's Ruth Chepngetich smashed the women's half marathon world record last week in Istanbul. She took half a minute off the previous record of 1 hour, 4 minutes and 31 seconds set by Ethiopia's Abdelbabel Yeshane in February 2020 in the United Arab Emirates. The 26-year-old Chepngetich was followed across the line in Turkey by Ethiopia's Yelamzef Yehlo. Kenya's Helen Obiri came third in 1 hour, 4 minutes and 51 seconds. This was the first time three women have finished inside 65 minutes in one half marathon. World record holder Kibowet Kandi won the men's race in a course record of 59 minutes and 35 seconds.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And in boxing, Manny Pacquiao is reportedly in discussions to return to boxing after an absence of nearly 2 years to fight WBO welterweight champion Terence Crawford on June 5th. The 42-year-old Pacquiao would be fighting in a pay-per-view bout in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. In his most recent fight in July 2019, Pacquiao defeated Keith Thurman to win the WBA welterweight title, making him a 12-time world champion. The 33-year-old Crawford, who was the undisputed junior welterweight champion before moving up a division, last fought in November, knocking out Kell Brook.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA's Gwen Uden introduces us now to a Palestinian woman who is making a name for herself in the competitive motorsport of drifting. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Auto racing might be considered a male-dominated sport, but one female speed junkie hopes to change that.
Hi, my name is Noor Dawood. I'm the first female drifter in the Middle East. I am here today in Abu Dhabi Yas Marina. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I'm here today to train for my next race, which is on Friday, 2nd of April, for the Red Bull CPD. So we're just training here, and all the guys are here. It's a beautiful environment. I miss it. It's been a while. I'm so happy that I'm back. And I'm just so confident. I'm really excited.
Noor Dawood has taken the drifting scene by storm as the first woman drifter in the Middle East. She's a member of Speed Sisters, the first all-female race car team in the Palestinian territories. And earlier this month, the 29-year-old spoke to Reuters News on the track at the Red Bull Car Park Drift Race in Dubai.
I'm very excited. I'm really happy that I qualified. And I'm just really excited. I'm looking forward. I'm ready. And that's just, it's been a while I haven't been on track. So I'm really, really happy with what I've done already. And I'm looking forward for some more. I want to get to top four. And I want to see myself on a podium.
Well, unfortunately, a problem with her car's gear kept Dawood off the podium in the Red Bull competition. Nonetheless, she's won accolades for her skills on the racetrack in a global competition where drivers are judged on how well they are able to maintain control of a car that they've intentionally caused to spin or drift sideways. Dawood took up the sport in 2012 at age 17 in her home country of Palestine, but she could only race against the clock in areas that were about the size of a parking lot. Dawood says she needed to rev up her engine in more extreme competitions, so she moved to Dubai to compete on the wide open track and develop her passion for drift racing and establish a career as a stunt driver.
Really a while that I've been in this domain, actually. I started in drifting in 2012, but 2009 I was doing some other stuff, which is the time attack. Didn't really like it. I went to the more extreme, the one that I love. I'm here today. I'm happy because I know I could do it, and I already qualified, and I'm getting to the top eight now, so I'm looking forward for that.
Dawood says she believes in going after her goals, even if others don't understand them. And as a drifting instructor at academies like the Yas Marina Circuit in the United Arab Emirates, Dawood hopes to pass her skills on to a new generation of young male and female drifters. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the April 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.